Does Jesus really want to help us? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. What a difference that makes when we start out a new week believing that God is with us, that God has never abandoned us, that God will never abandon us, that God's closer to us in the air in our lungs, that if God would forget us for a millisecond, we would go out of existence. To the extent that you believe that, you enter this new Monday, this new week, work week, school week, whatever, with more trust, more ability to rule with the punch, more ability to work, see the workings of God behind the scene, helping you get through. Might be a difficult day, might be a challenging day, might be a day that brings some sadness. But on the other hand, it might be a day where you just feel so energized by God because you believe that God is with you. What does Isaiah say? If it's possible. Look how it starts. If it's possible for a mother to forget the child in her womb, I will never forget you, God says, because I have carved you in the palms of my hands. Carved you on the palm of my hand. Wow. So, don't be afraid of this Monday. Don't be overwhelmed by this Monday. Don't be already exhausted because all the things you have to do this Monday. God is with you. God travels with you. God will speak to your heart. God will give you an insight you would have never had or thought you could have had. Okay, let's go right to today's scripture quote. It comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 3. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched his hand. With his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the man was cured of his leprosy. So there is the universal question, right? Articulated by this man, a question that we sometimes have. Lord, if you are willing. Now you can see why I opened the program with the question, does Jesus really want to help us? How willing is Jesus to help us? Well, if you're a Christian, which means a little Christ, a miniature Christ, you believe that Jesus, as I say at the beginning of every Monday's program, with us, walks with us every day, carries us on the difficult days, inspires us, comforts us, rejoices with us, laughs with us. How willing is Jesus to help us? All it takes is a simple invitation. Jesus, help me. You know Jesus, and I say this all the time in my program, you know Jesus will not come into your heart like a bull in a china shop. Jesus is so respectful of free will. You have to invite him. You have to say, I need a Savior. We are closing all the windows to heaven. We are living in spaceship Earth, trying to solve great, complicated, tremendous problems all by our natural resources. Let me read something to you today. It was written by Dorothy Sayers in her book, Creed or Chaos. Now, let me especially point out to you when she wrote this book. In 1949, okay? A few years after World War II was over. And she reflects on something that is just as relevant today as it was in 1949. Here's what she writes. The people who are most discouraged and made despondent by the barbarity and stupidity of human behavior are those who cling to an optimistic belief in the civilizing influence of progress and enlightenment. To them, the appalling outburst of bestial ferocity in the totalitarian states in the obstinate selfishness and stupid greed of capitalistic society are not merely shocking and alarming. For them, these things are the utter negation of everything in which they have believed. It is as though the bottom had dropped out of their universe. The whole thing looks like a denial of reason, and they feel as if they and the world had gone mad together. Not for the Christian, this is not so. A Christian is as deeply shocked and grieved as anybody else, but he or she is not astonished. A Christian has never thought very highly of human nature left to itself. A Christian has been accustomed to the idea that there is a deep interior dislocation in the very center of human personality, and that you can never, as they say, make people good by an act of parliament. The delusion of the mechanical perfectibility of humankind through a combined process of scientific knowledge and unconscious evolution has been responsible for a great deal of heartbreak. It is, at bottom, far more pessimistic than Christian pessimism, because if science and progress break down, there's nothing to fall back on. Humanism is self-contained. It provides for man no resources outside himself. End of quote. Now, that's why I said our world is closing all the windows to heaven, thinking that we can pull it off by ourselves. And when we don't pull it off by ourselves, people despair, they commit suicide. Secular atheistic humanists are shocked, absolutely shocked, that this world is not improving because of technology and because of evolution. Their only savior is himself. What a far cry from what we say. We say we need a savior. We want to stay in touch with Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We know we can't pull it off by ourselves. We are so delighted that Jesus rose from the dead and He's alive. That He's involved in our life. He said He would not leave us orphans. Let me give you an example I give when I preach. I say a lot of people have the image of Jesus being like a hitchhiker. You're driving down the road one day and you see Jesus on the side of the road and you recognize Jesus right away and He has His thumb out. So you say, stop and say, please come in, Jesus. Please come in. So you and Jesus are driving down the road having this wonderful conversation. Here comes a truck right at you in your lane. You veer to the left so you don't get hit. You go down over the side of the embankment and you hit into a tree. Bam, you hit this tree. Well, neither you or Jesus are hurt, but you get out of the car and you look at the car. The car is It's totaled. Now, here's the image a lot of people have. Jesus looks at you and says, hey, good luck. Hope it all works out. And He walks up the hill and He starts hitchhiking again, leaving you to deal with your totaled car. That's not Jesus. Jesus is intimately involved in our life. He's involved by sending us wisdom and courage and strength and knowledge how to use our gifts to the fullest. He's involved by sending us people who love us, family and friends, and even at times sends us strangers to help us through very, very difficult times. I do not believe in a Jesus who's indifferent to the suffering of the world. Why would He have died on a cross if He was indifferent to the sufferings of the world? I do not believe in a Jesus who picks and chooses the people He wants to help, who plays favorites. I don't believe in any of those images of Jesus. And if you have a false image of Jesus, you need to clear that up right away. So here's my question for you. Do you need a Savior? Please say yes. Will you let the Savior, Jesus Christ, the unique Son of God, the one and only Savior of the world, will you let Him help you? Will you let Him do open heart surgery on you? Will you let Him give you a change of heart? Will you let Him help you overcome your discouragement, your despair? Say yes, folks. Say yes, and today will be the first day of the rest of your life. You know who our prayer partners are today? They're the people in the United Nations. The United Nations really could be a wonderful source of help and peace and justice in our world, but since it's made up of humans, often very selfish humans, greedy humans, they need a lot of prayers. The United Nations could turn out to be more detrimental than helpful. We have to ask God to help those people come to their senses, to make good decisions, to use money right, to put their agendas, personal agendas, aside and work for the betterment of the world. God bless the United Nations. Here's today's food for thought. It comes from Henry Ward Beecher. Mirth is God's medicine. Amen to that, right? Mirth, joy, laughter is God's medicine. In fact, my newsletter comes out 6 times a year. I have a section of laughter, and the title of that section is Laughter is the Best Medicine. Okay, all the jokes this week, or all the attempts to make you smile or laugh, have to do with atheists, okay? I almost feel like I have to have a disclaimer here in case there's an atheist listening who might be offended. Listen, they're just jokes, and if they're not jokes, they're really kind of funny and they make a point. All right, enough. Ready? First one. A man once said that he feels sorry for atheists who need help. He asked, who do they pray to? Darwin? Get it? I did. Anyways, Darwin's the father of evolution. Who rules out God? Well, who do you pray to if you're an atheist? Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me know you listened to the program. You can send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. Want to get my newsletter? It comes out 6 times a year. There's no charge for it. Just send your address to me. And certainly if you can send me a check to help me keep my hospital going for the very, very poor in Oaxaca, Mexico, I would greatly appreciate that. You can make the check out to T as in Thomas, T-A-S-H, Inc. Stands for the Anacetar Hospital. I named it after my mother, who was a great inspiration to me. And send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And, you know, let me say a word about my website. Many of you have gone there, have sent me emails, but if you haven't visited my website lately, the material changes with some frequency. My radio show, you can listen to it 5 days a week, or you can read the transcript from another show that I do every Sunday for 5 minutes. There's a wonderful link to my hospital in Mexico. And you can hit that link and you can read it in Spanish if you're good at Spanish, but you can look for the English button and you can read all about it in English. That's fatherscott.com. Spell out father, okay? Hope you enjoy it. Well, now I'd like to invite you to join me in praying the beginning of the Peace Prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.